You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, but no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. Romans 16, okay, 25 through 27. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.
Okay, right. Well, looks like we're good to go. It's nice to see that we've got somewhat of a reprieve from the dogmatics coming from the president. And we don't, at least at this stage, have to get the vaccination. However, we need to pray for our legislators and people who are looking out for our interests in the state and around Washington area. I think Governor DeSantis has got a good idea. What you do is when you get these midnight flights coming into your airports where the federal government is trying to offload people from the border, you just hold them and put them on another flight to Washington, D.C. Not a bad idea. And, you know, once you get a big camp of these people around Washington, D.C., well, maybe the legislators there might start saying, hey, maybe we better think about the border. So, interesting things happening around the country. We need to pray for the country continually. We're praying all the time that we'll see good leadership come forward. And we're hoping that will happen. Now, it looks like we've lost a bit of a signal here. Hopefully it'll come back. I'll pull this out and stick it back in again, see if something happens. That's cool. Maybe we just... No, this is not a battery thing. This is a connection thing, yes. So let's see where that works. That's interesting. Maybe it's going to come back on. Maybe not. Okay, well, looks like there's no PowerPoint today. So what I'm going to do today is I want to look at the problems to do with interpretation. Oh, here it comes. To do with the matter of prophecy and mystery. And this really is a huge thing. We looked at some of the places where the word mystery is used, and the last ones are in Revelation, and they are giving us a very good indication of the meaning of mystery in relationship to prophecy. And I pointed out that some people who teach some aspects of dispensational truth will try and say that mystery is one thing, which is for Paul, and then prophecy is something else, which is related to the prophets of the Old Testament and for the Gospels. And this kind of simplification is simply not scriptural. And if you're not going to be scriptural, you're going to come to grief in the end. You need to be scriptural and understand that there are mysteries related to prophecy. For example, here in Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. Seven stars are angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So you can see mysteries can be related to symbology. And then the symbology then can be revealed and taught, and then it ceases to be a mystery once the revelation is given as to what the symbols mean. Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and we looked at the seven angels last time, and saw that the seventh angel sounds with his salpinks, this trumpet, a blast comes out. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Well, comes to a completion. That means there is a mystery of God which he has in his purposes related to prophecy, which he keeps secret in season, and then at the right times will bring this thing to its completion. In other words, there is a purpose related to the mystery of God. The mystery of God has a purpose, and then it will come to its fruition and be completed. And it says this, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Very clear connection now between the mystery of God, an outworking of a purpose, a time when it will be completed, and that that's connected with the prophets. Very clear connection. 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Mystery Babylon the Great. Well, there are mysteries too which relate to the outworkings of Satan and purposes which he has for this earth. And, of course, God knows about these things, and he's revealed a lot of Satan's purposes to his prophets. And 17:7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. And then you can read Revelation 17, and there he explains now not only the symbology, but the meaning behind this. And so it's a very, very clear thing that's in the Bible that there are secret purposes of God, there are secret purposes of Satan, and then what God does through his prophets is he will reveal things in due time and write them, have them written to us and preserve them. And we talked about the preservation of Scripture previously. We believe that. Now here's some kind of an interesting thing that I think is kind of interesting. If you look at the words no difference, that expression, no difference, it appears 1, 2, 3, 4 times in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? No difference. And we say no difference quite often for things that really are different in their minute. But we are thinking of perhaps one specific thing that they have in common, then we say no difference. Look at this. This comes from Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things, separate things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Very important thing that God wants certain things made different, and then others who are working against God do not keep the difference and try and mash them together. And that's a very important thing. There's lots of applications for this. That we as people who understand the Scriptures want to maintain things that are different when they are different. And things that are equal, we want to proclaim them as being equal. Coming down here, look at this, Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Yeah, we find eventually that there are certain aspects of the movement of God's purpose in terms of salvation where there is no difference. God has a purpose for people in terms of salvation that all would be saved. He wants that. He wants all people to be saved, individuals. But there is an elective purpose of God in the nation of Israel where he would bring out certain individuals to bring about the salvation and teaching of the gospel around the earth. He has an elect nation. And what does he want for that elect nation? He wants them to be saved. Two things that he wants. He wants for this elect nation to carry out his purpose, but he doesn't want them to carry out his purpose as being lost individuals. He wants them to come to the Savior. Look at this, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Ah, now when Paul says there's no difference, there is a context to the no difference. It's in respect of salvation. Yes, there's no difference. God's purpose in terms of salvation is for everyone. There's no difference. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile in terms of that purpose, that he wants all to be saved. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What do you mean call upon him? Call upon him in respect of salvation. That's clear. Paul brings this out. That's important. But after saying that, what we discover is that while there is no difference concerning sin and salvation, and I've given you these two passages as examples, we've just looked at them, let's have a look through Romans at where there is most definitely a advantage given to the Jew. And there is a purpose of God in relationship to the nation of Israel. I'm thinking about us here. You know, at this church and what we do in terms of our ministry. We have a great ministry, my friends. We have a legacy that's come to us, which is great. And I'm so excited about it. I have never lost this excitement about the truths that we're talking about. Because it changes people's lives. That yes, you need to be saved. That God's will is for all to be saved. Yes. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God from the beginning said, you're going to be saved, that's my purpose, and I'm going to pass over you, and you're off to hell. Whatever their context of hell is. Okay? I don't believe that. Prove that to me. Prove it to me. Prove to me that teaching is in the Bible. I haven't seen it. Please prove it to me. But what I do believe here is that there is an elect purpose for the nation of Israel. I do believe that. I find that in the scriptures. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Now remember where we are. This is really where you've got to really understand this. That we're going to get here in Romans right near the end of the book of Acts. Okay, so here, let's say, is the end of the book of Acts. You said book. Okay, cool. So right over here, what we're doing is we're reading about an epistle of Paul to the Romans during this time of the Acts. Well, that's quite amazing. So therefore, his other Acts epistles will go before then. What we find him saying here then is going to be clearly something not strange to the epistles before. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Lovely. Separated under the gospel of God. So does that mean he's separated unto the mystery hid before the foundation of the world? Is that what he's saying? Well, read verse 2. The gospel of God. Verse 2. Which... Well, wait a minute. Stop. What's the antecedent of which? Which is gospel of God. The gospel of God. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What Holy Scriptures? What we commonly call the Old Testament. The Old Testament. You know, there are people who call themselves rightly dividing Christians, dispensational, they could even call themselves Bereans, and they say that the gospel of God is the mystery. Well, then the mystery, according to this then, was promised afore by his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. You see the problem with that? That can't be true. It can't be true that is the mystery given to Paul the prisoner in Ephesians chapter 3, or Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, cool. Well, that will work with us even today, right? It would work with us. Except, look what it says. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It's connected intimately with the Son of David. This is on track with the gospel of God, which was promised before in the Holy Scriptures. Coming down here to verse 16, look what it says. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Oh, great. So, to everyone that believeth. Nice. That fits quite well. But here, look at this. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, wait a minute. So, looks like we're in that "and also" to the Greek. To the Jew first, number one, and also to the Greek. There is a preference given here to the nation of Israel, and Paul is acknowledging it. He's not denying it. Yes, he's saying there's no difference. The same Lord is rich to all that call on his name. Yes, that's in the matter of salvation. God wants all to be saved. But his purposes involve an elect nation, and that nation is going to be used instrumentally to do something. That is, in belief. When that nation is brought to belief, it's going to be used of God to bring about some great things. And that's not left aside when you get to the book of Revelation. Not at all. It's still going on, man. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. Well, we'll read from verse 9. "And tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first," okay, "to whom much is given, much is required." So why should Jew be first here in terms of this tribulation and anguish? Because they are responsible. They have been given privileges, so they're first. If they mess up, then they first will be judged. "And also of the Gentile," verse 10, "but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Well, notice how it goes, "and also to the Gentile." How does the Gentile fit in there? Second place, right? Second place. I don't mean that means that each individual Gentile is less important. He's already stated there's no difference in terms of salvation, but there is a purpose of God that's coming up here, which is important to recognize and acknowledge. Okay, so in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent." That's interesting, proving the things that are excellent. Paul uses that expression. "Being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law." Paul then brings up this great place that they have and had in the past, right? And they were supposed to be teachers. Now they failed. And Paul hits this in the book of Hebrews. He says, "You're supposed to be teachers, but I've got to teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of God." They are the ones who are supposed to be the big teacher. Hey, look. People do not respect teachers. They don't. You can tell that, right? Because of the place that teachers have in our society. Unfortunately, I'm a teacher. There's lots of teachers in here. Let me tell you something about a good teacher. They are number one when it comes to a student. If you are a student and you're after knowledge, let me tell you, the teacher is number one, man. You get a good teacher, that's going to make all the difference. You think it's not different with the nation of Israel? If the nation of Israel would bow their knee to Christ, they would become a magnificent nation of teachers, a kingdom of priests, man. They would fulfill that destiny. You don't think you would listen to a good Jewish Christian who understood his place before God? They would change the world, man. Who do you think Paul was? Who do you think Paul was? Jewish Christian man. And what did he do, man? Turn the world upside down, man. It'd be magnificent. Well, these are showing you in the book of Romans. Here. Right near the end of the book of Acts. What's Paul doing right near the end of the book of Acts? He's showing you the place of the nation of Israel in the purposes of God. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you see, my friends, if that is what's going on there, and we can show in the Scriptures that something magnificent changed, then what happened with the change is going to have big implications to our lives and how we should live our lives. Big changes. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Look at this. I mean, I'm just giving you a little touch of this stuff. It's magnificent. Chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Stop. What advantage hath the Jew? Well, if you put this book into our age and you try and take this teaching that's in here and try and mix it with what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, for example, you're going to get a huge contradiction, massive contradiction. But look what he answers here in the book of Acts, right where it is. Look what he says. Or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse 2. Much. Much. How many ways? Every way. Much. Every way. Chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. And then he goes on and then shows, you know, well, what then if some do not believe? There's a cause the purpose of God to fall to the ground? No, it doesn't, because there's a remnant. Look at chapter 9, verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4 says this: Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? And he's showing you what Israel was given. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Isn't that a remarkable passage showing you the tremendous place Israel has? And as you come down a little bit further, look at chapter 11, verse 17. It says, And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert graft in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Well, what's this a picture of? This is a picture of Israel failing, but notice the distinction is still kept. The Gentiles were a wild olive tree, and they were graft in amongst the others that were part of this good root and good olive tree. It says this, and verse 18, Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Don't you boast. You've got no room for but you're being held up because of the goodness of the root. Have you seen these old olive trees? You know, there's olive trees that go back hundreds and hundreds of years, and probably some of them go right back to the time of Christ. It's remarkable how olive trees can live so long. Of course, there are other trees we've got right here in the United States. What are these ones out there in California? These big redwood trees, massive things that have this massive girth. I don't know how old those are. They probably go back to the time of Christ. I don't know. Verse 19. Thou wilt say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. That is showing, as a nation, the Gentiles, if there's enough unbelief, they can be cut off. And he's talking about nationhood. He's not talking about the fact that a person can be saved. A person within a nation that's gone ungodly, an individual, can still say, well, I'm not going with the rest of you characters. I'm going for the truth of God. I'm going to trust Jesus in the midst of all this. Your life is a testing ground. Your life is all these little crossroads that you come to, right? And you're going to take, you're going to make a decision. Which road are you going to take? And that's what your life tends to be, right? Just a whole lot of decisions you've made. And unfortunately, sometimes you make the wrong decision, man. And as long as God's giving you breath, you may have the opportunity to say, well, I need to go back there, man. I need to take the other road. And some people are beginning to see that with what's going on in this nation now. They're beginning to see this. I saw this guy, what's his name? Dr. Oz. Big turnaround with Dr. Oz. We're starting to see other people doing this. Surgeons, doctors who were before getting on board with all sorts of pronouncements from Mr. Doctor in the White House. Geriatric. Trying to give pronouncements against logic, against good medicine. And now we're starting to see, just the beginning, of people in higher places starting to turn. Boy, it takes them a while, doesn't it? Takes them a while. Got to have a whole lot of dead people before they start to get up to speed. Don't get me on that subject. Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And they also, look at this, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Well, that can't be salvation, because that means this will be teaching, yeah, they were saved, and then they got lost, and they get saved again. No, it's not about this. It's about the nation. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature, man. This is in the book of Romans. This is in the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is now showing you the relationship between this good olive tree and this wild olive tree. Gnarly looking thing, man. Wild. How much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Question mark. Well, of course. God is still showing you that He has purposes to do with the nation of Israel, but He's interested in bringing them to repentance so they would be effective teachers and preachers and priests. Who knows, man? We may even get to see some of that one day. We may get to see it. Fantastic teaching. Now, okay. Coming over here. Now, I say, this is Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Stop. Think. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Two, confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was Jesus Christ's ministry all about? Confirming promises made unto the fathers of Israel. That's what Jesus Christ was. He was a minister of the circumcision. Now look, but wait. Look at this. And, see? Tade. And that the ta ethne. That's the Gentiles. The nations. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Part of the prophetic purposes that Jesus Christ was involved with was first of all to reach the nation of Israel, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Yes, and in so doing, what do we get? And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. Oh, look at that. As it is written. You see, that comes from the prophets. That's what the prophet said. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Look at this. Romans 15 with me. Have a look at it. Romans 15 and verse 10. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, with his people, with his people. His people still distinct. The nation of Israel still distinct. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Distinction between Gentiles and Jews, but there is an agreement that who Christ is, what he has done. Now the God of hope, verse 13, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to also admonish one another. Going on here about the mission of the church, the mission in terms of this great purpose, not destroying the purpose of God in relationship to Israel. No, it's not. It's in conjunction with it. Wow. So look here. Right over here, we've got Jew first, man. It's still going first here, right near the end of the book of Acts, in this great Roman epistle. Now go across to Romans 16. I need to just finish this off. Look at verse 25. Now he's got a series of amens here. He's giving these salutations to all these people. Look at Romans 16:1. I'll just show you this because I think this is fantastic. This Phoebe. Look at this. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now if you know something about the nation of Israel and the prophets and the place of women and where women were used in the Old Testament, their purposes, their function within society, you'll see here a tremendous thing that comes out. And it's not in contradiction to that. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a helper, a succorer of many. Now look at this. And of myself also. There you go. Great purpose of God for women found right here. When Jew was first. Phoebe is a good example. Great helper. Now go across over here to verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Okay, cool. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Now look at this.
See if I can show this to you.
Okay, I'm going to leave this here. Now just before we go on, see, notice here Romans 16:25-27, where we are reading mystery, silence of four for obedience of faith amongst all nations. Okay, so here in the middle is this inner section of Romans, which goes back to Adam. There is a mystery which Paul brings out, which goes back not to Abraham but all the way back to Adam. Now he's talking about that thing for which there is no difference. The main teaching that says that all that call upon him can be saved, whether it be Jew or Gentile. And he bases this on a particular mystery. Look what it says. According to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Since the world began. Yeah, not before the foundation of the world. Since it was hidden in ages. But it says in verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience of faith. Now, what I want to bring out here, it says in verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. It's made manifest, yeah, Paul, as an inspired prophet, brings out this great secret purpose, showing you this great teaching going right back to Adam in this inner portion, which he brings out. But it's and by the scriptures of the prophets. You can't say that about the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner, because it's got nothing to do with the scriptures of the prophets. It was hidden God. But this mystery, this secret, was silenced in age times that the prophets discussed, but now Paul brings out from the surface. And I'm showing you this picture, I think it's a very good one, of the person walking along, and you know, you've seen these people with these magnetic things looking for, you know, metal and stuff, going along the beach. And so here they see a little bit of the coin, as it were, poking out of the sand. Can't really see exactly what it is, just a bit of shiny metal. And in the scriptures, yeah, you'll see some of this truth about salvation in Christ, but it's not clear. It takes an inspired apostle to reach down, inspired of God, and bring that beautiful gold coin out of the sand. Say, see, can you see this? It's nice and clear, it's shiny. Here it is. Silenced in age times, but now I'm showing it to you. That's what that secret is. It's not this one. Go across to Ephesians, I'll finish with this. Go across to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the untraceable. It's untraceable. You can't find any trace of it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus. It was hid in God. It's not something that was silenced in age times, but rather this one is completely hid in God. You won't find any trace of it. But the one here, there is trace. And by the scriptures of the prophets, and by the prophetical scriptures. It's an adjective. Well, my friends, that's my lesson for you today. I'm more excited about the scriptures today than I was yesterday. I see more in here to teach and preach. I see so much confusion concerning the Bible that understanding this truth that I'm just bringing out here would just revolutionize the world of Christianity and then the world through that. I think it would make a huge difference. Rock and roll, man. Let's pray. God and Father, we pray, Lord, that we would each one open the door, Lord, as thou pulls the latch and walk through, Lord, to new vistas and see the great truths of Christ work out in our lives. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell, those who are sick, that your healing hand and holy hands would be upon them and heal them in thy will. We pray for our country, Lord, that you would restore it and there'll be great preachers raised up to teach thy will in this age. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.